We are backstage with members of the Low Brass Quartet with composer Jennifer Higdon. Congratulations to all of you.
Thank you, Susan. Nice to be here.
It's a blast.
Jennifer, can you talk about how this came to be written?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I got a phone call from the Chicago Symphony. I remember my opera was going up in Santa Fe, and they said, would you be interested in writing a piece? And I thought, ooh, that sounds like a hard challenge, low brass featured as soloist. But then I thought, oh, that could be really cool. Think about the sounds you could come up with. So I jumped on it because it was scary. And usually my rule for deciding on projects is if it terrifies me, I should go for it. So it does present interesting challenges because, first of all, you've got four soloists. So that's unusual. Four soloists at the front of the stage. But also when you have the low-end spectrum there, that normally kind of they constitute the heart of the repertoire when you hear these incredible moments with the harmony is very clear, and there's a lot of power there. But to feature them as soloists is a whole different thing. You have to change the way you think about it. Plus the fact that they are on the low end of the harmonic spectrum, so you have to figure out how to space them when you're writing musically so that you can hear the lines clearly, but also allow them kind of the freedom to be soloists. And so I was thinking about kind of the power and the grace of these players, but my other thought was low brass players are always a lot of fun to write with. Every time I work with them, whether I was teaching at Curtis or I had them in class or when I've worked with, you know, I've written for low brass within orchestra, but it's a different thing to feature them at the front. But my first thought was really, oh, this is going to be fun because they're always a fun collection of people.
And you've said that when you write a concerto, you're thinking not only of the instrument, but of the player. But in this case, you have three orchestras, three ensembles. So how did that work?
Well, amazingly, they all made the same requests when I talked to them about what to put in the piece. I wanted to focus on the things that audiences don't often get a chance to hear, which is the slow, lyrical, quiet playing. We're so used to thinking of the low brass as kind of blasting through it like these key moments. So to give them a chance to actually be heard as individuals, but also the kind of the strength of them as a unit, I wanted a lot of counterpoints, so lines that kind of move together. So it opens with the low brass like a chorale, but they all have a chance to shine too in solo. So I try to kind of encapsulate all the cool things they do, plus things that the audience might not be familiar with, but I knew that they could do.
So for example, what were some of the ideas that you all gave to Jennifer? Nitsan, Arose?
I remember telling Jennifer, please don't forget that we have a fabulous bass trombone and tuba players in actually all three orchestras, and that can enable you to use some ideas, not only because usually a quartet as such, you know, would utilize the first, the highest player, you know, in this case, first trombone part as the solo part, and then the others kind of accompany. And I personally wanted Jennifer to divide the solos amongst us and take advantage of the other fantastic players in this group.
He wanted to share the workload is what he said.
Exactly. I wanted to just sit around and enjoy myself while the others work really hard.
He still has the most high notes. He works hard.
I'm Blair Bollinger, bass trombone.
We met with Jennifer while she was conceiving the idea, and we talked about Brahms chorales, how he would write really beautiful chorales with trombones. And so then she starts the whole concerto with a chorale section.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I have to tell you, after meeting with these guys, I went through all of the orchestral repertoire where there were significant, because you all sent me a list of, like, excerpts. I went through all of the excerpts and all of the standard literature looking at the relationship of the various players but also how the low brass fit into the context of like a full orchestra. But this was the balancing act because there's so much power in the ensemble and you think, all right, I'm putting them in the back to the front. I'm moving them to the front. So how does that affect the balance between the orchestra that is accompanying them and them as soloists? So it was kind of a fascinating thing to look at other things that were written, and there really aren't many low brass concertos. I think this orchestra did a low brass concerto several decades ago.
Yeah, Muti the credit. Yeah, actually, I was a student in the audience for those performances.
Really?
So yeah, we'll give Muti credit. So he commissioned Ray Primer, who was a trombonist composer, who wrote a low brass concerto, and that would have been 83 or 84.
Yeah.
And then so 30 years later, Muti had the idea to do it again. So we're glad he included us.
Yeah, I have to admit, Moody's the one, I think, who may have come up with this for Chicago. I believe he may have been the basically originating the idea of what, you know, we're doing something would feature a section, because that in itself is also a little unusual in a concerto. I actually have a section of the orchestra. We don't add any low brass players. We just pull them from the orchestra, and they carry all the solo material.
So what was your process in putting it together?
You know, my first thought was to try to come up with some musical lines that were quiet and soft. And then I thought, all right, you think about things like breathing. You think about the time that people take to phrase things and how much the orchestra is going to play versus the soloist. I also thought about the various solos, what would work well for the instruments. And then I thought, I need contrast. I wanted the fast power stuff because they do that so well. I couldn't pass that up. But I really, really wanted to focus in on kind of quiet lyrical. And exploring brass choir music and low brass choir music, it was kind of opening a world for me. I'm like, oh, this is a whole world unto itself that I had no idea about. So that I wanted the audience to be able to hear that, because I'm going out and searching for this stuff. And I think brass players are all aware of brass choirs, but the general public doesn't seem to have a realization. At Christmas time we hear brass music, but we just don't think about the fact that there's a lot of incredible literature. So this was kind of a way of sharing that sound and letting them in on the excitement.
So for you all who are playing the piece, can you point to any particular parts of the concerto that showcase some of the things you're happy to let people know that your instrument can do? Carol Jansch?
Got a bunch of fancy scales in the tuba part.
Yeah, 3-octave, 16-note triplet scales in the tuba part. Yeah.
So how is this different, playing in an ensemble, as a soloist ensemble, from playing as a soloist? Because you've done concertos and solo work with the orchestra behind you, but how is it different when you're in an ensemble? Matthew Vaughn?
I know for myself, we all worked individually on our parts for a while, and we kind of came to the first rehearsals with clear ideas how we each interpreted our parts, but then you put it together and it really changed a lot. We had to work together and really reformulate how we each approach it and make compromises with each other. But we spent a lot of time. It's really great for us to grow as a section, to have this opportunity to learn to, you know, butt heads a little bit, but to compromise and work together. And I think what we've come up with is very successful. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, in my mind, this is more like playing a brass quintet or a trombone quartet kind of concert, except we just have 90 of our friends accompanying us in the back this time. But it's really working together as the quartet up front is the nucleus of the piece.
For me, the biggest change, and I agree with Matt, that was wonderful what you said, and as a soloist, you really, you know, think about yourself and the accompaniment, and you want to shine. And I think one of the things we had to think about is letting the voices be interesting and shine, you know, so basically not be selfish and just think about yourself in terms of dynamics and interpretation, rather let the other voices shine and be heard when they have an interesting line.
Well, it was really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.